Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today we'll be taking a look at the world of visual merchandising. You know, it's really fascinating. We're going to be using a great article from Global Textile Times. Have you ever just kind of found yourself like lingering in a store?
Yeah.
Longer than you thought?
Yeah.
Or maybe bought something that wasn't even on your list?
Oh yeah, all the time.
That's probably most likely visual merchandising at work.
For sure.
And we're going to be breaking down those subtle cues that really kind of shape those shopping experiences that we have.
Right.
We have an expert with us today who knows how retailers use all these techniques.
Yeah.
From, you know, the color psychology to just where things are placed.
It's amazing, isn't it? It really is this blend of art and science, you know. Yes. The goal is to create an experience that's, you know, aesthetically pleasing, but also gets those sales.
Right, right. So let's get down to the basics. What exactly is visual merchandising?
All right.
And why should we even care?
Well, Global Textile Times, they defined it as that strategic use of design elements. And, you know, it's meant to really influence how customers behave.
Uh-huh.
So it's about creating that environment that draws them in.
Yeah.
Guides them through the store. And ultimately, it's all about getting them to make purchases.
So it's not just about making things look pretty.
No, no.
There's like a psychology behind it.
There's a whole, visual merchandising taps into our senses.
Oh, wow.
And our emotions to try to create the effect that, you know, they're going for.
Right.
It's about understanding how people are perceiving.
Right.
And responding to what's around them.
That makes sense. I mean, we've all like seen a window display and been like, walked in a store and just felt that vibe.
Yes.
But knowing how these tactics work.
Yeah.
Can make us like more aware when we shop, right?
Exactly. You know, it gives you a little bit more control, I think.
Right.
Because you can actually ask yourself, am I buying this because I really want it? Or is it because, like you said, the music's making me feel a certain way?
Or the lighting.
Or the lighting.
Yeah. Okay, so let's break down some of these tactics. The Global Textile Times article highlighted a lot of interesting interior elements.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it's kind of like this sensory symphony.
Okay.
You know, like retailers are using aromas, sounds, colors, lighting, even textures.
Wow.
To try to create a specific experience.
Okay, so let's start with aromas. I know that some stores like have signature scents.
Right.
But is there like more to it than that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not just about creating that pleasant atmosphere.
Okay.
Certain scents can evoke like emotions and associations even. Like, for example, a bakery might use the smell of fresh baked bread to trigger, you know, those feelings of comfort and nostalgia.
I see.
And those make you more likely to buy things.
Ooh.
Clever. Very clever. I never thought of it like that. What about music? I mean, we all know they use it to, you know, set the mood. But is there like a science behind it?
There totally is.
Okay.
You know, like that fast tempo music.
Yeah.
It tends to encourage that faster shopping.
Uh-huh.
While if they play slower music, it can make you kind of linger a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Spend more time looking at things. Think about like the difference between, you know, like a fast fashion store and a high-end boutique.
Oh, that's so true. You go in a high-end boutique, it's like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like I've definitely been influenced by music in a store before.
I think we all have. Then, of course, there's color, which is like, you know, a whole field of study in and of itself.
Yeah.
Warm colors, like, you know, reds and oranges,
uh-huh,
you know, associated with energy, excitement.
Right.
Whereas cool colors, like blues and greens, can be more about calm.
I see.
Sophistication.
So, like, a store selling activewear might use those brighter, warmer colors to get people, like, energized.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, luxury brands, maybe those cooler tones, like we were talking about, to project that image of, you know, exclusivity.
Right, right.
And the psychology of color goes, you know, deeper than that. Certain colors can even influence how we see value and quality.
Wow. I'm starting to see how all of these elements just like work together.
Yeah.
Like a carefully orchestrated performance.
Yeah. It really is. And then on top of that, you've got lighting. Lighting can highlight specific products.
Oh, yeah.
Create that sense of drama.
Yeah.
Or even guide customers through the store.
You know, I remember reading in the Global Textile Times article about how they use spotlighting to make a product just look more desirable. And I actually fell for it once.
Mm-hmm.
There was this pair of shoes. It was dramatically lit in this case. And I ended up buying them. even though they weren't even on my list.
Yeah, it's such a classic example of how lighting can, manipulate our perception.
Yeah.
We're naturally drawn to those brighter areas. And we tend to associate, something that's well lit with higher quality.
Oh, wow. So it's not just about aesthetics. Well, it's about playing with, our subconscious.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's the textures.
Okay.
Which a lot of times it's overlooked, but it's really important. Textures just add another layer to the experience. Think about, a store with, lots of soft fabrics and warm wood tones.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus, hard metallic surfaces.
I mean, they're a totally different mood.
Yeah, totally.
It's amazing how much detail goes into this.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
The score environment.
Yeah. And we haven't even touched on the exterior.
Okay. So let's move outside. What are some of the key tactics used to create that first impression? I mean, Global Textile Times, they referred to this as the storefront, right?
They did. Yeah. And, the storefront's like a movie trailer. It has to, grab your attention and tell a story in just a few seconds.
Wow.
So that means everything from, the design of the building itself.
Right.
To the signage.
Yeah.
The window displays. Even the landscaping.
So it's not just about having a catchy name.
No.
Or a cool logo.
Nope. It's the whole package.
It's about the whole, yeah.
Think about it this way. You're walking down the street and there's a ton of stores.
Yeah.
What makes you stop and actually look?
I guess a really striking storefront.
Yeah.
Remember that window display we saw last year during the holidays?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was incredible.
It was so captivating.
Exactly. And a well-designed window display, it's like a piece of art.
Yeah.
And it should, draw you in, create a sense of wonder and excitement. And at the end of the day, it's meant to get people in the store.
Yeah, get that foot traffic.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I'm starting to see stores in like a whole new light.
And this is really just the beginning. We haven't even talked about AI and visual merchandising yet. And that's where things get really futuristic.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Let's dive into that next. Okay, so we've talked about all those sensory elements in a store, the sights, the sounds, the smells, even the textures.
Right.
But the Global Textile Times article also mentioned AI, how it's changing things.
AI is giving retailers this whole new way to personalize the shopping experience. It's pretty wild. Imagine walking into a store and the displays are made just for you.
The article mentioned AI being used to track customers' movements in a store. How does that even work?
Well, there's a few different technologies they use. Some stores have facial recognition software to identify customers and, keep track of their shopping habits. Others use heat maps to see what areas are getting the most traffic.
So they know where we're looking and what we're touching and stuff. That's kind of creepy, isn't it?
It can be. There are, definitely some privacy concerns there. But retailers say that all this data just helps them create a better experience, more personalized, more enjoyable.
And how does that work? The personalization part.
Okay, so let's say you're online, right? And you keep looking at, vintage jackets. AI can use that data to show you similar stuff when you go to the store. Or let's say you're in the store and you're looking at a specific display for a while. AI can actually tell a sales associate to come over and, give you more info.
So it's like they're trying to anticipate what customers want. That's pretty smart.
It is. And AI can even do those virtual try-on things now. You can see how clothes would look without actually trying them on, which is, I think, really helpful when you're shopping online because returns can be such a pain.
Yeah, for sure. That's amazing. It sounds like AI is kind of blurring the lines between shopping online and in person.
It totally is. And it's only going to get, more and more advanced.
So with all this talk about, data and personalization, are there any downsides to this whole AI thing?
Well, yeah, there are those privacy issues we talked about. Some people worry about stores having too much information. And then there's the potential for bias.
Bias. How so?
Well, if the AI is trained on data that already has, bias in it, it can make things worse in the real world. For example, if a store has always catered to a specific type of person, maybe wealthy women of a certain age, the AI might just keep targeting them, even if that's not who they want to reach anymore. And that can make the shopping experience, less diverse, less inclusive.
That's a really good point. We need to be aware of those potential problems, especially as AI becomes more common in retail. So where does this leave us? What's the takeaway for listeners who are trying to navigate this whole a new world of shopping.
I think the key is to, you know, be informed, be aware, understand how these techniques work and how they might be influencing you.
So, like, pay attention to those personalized recommendations, but don't let them, you know, totally control you.
Exactly. Remember, you always have a choice. Don't be afraid to, you know, try new things and step outside of that box.
That's great advice. And maybe, just maybe, we can all learn to appreciate the artistry and the strategy behind all of this without letting it totally take over. So, AI in retail. Pretty wild stuff.
It is.
But I want to circle back to something we talked about earlier, the storefront.
Yeah.
You know, that first impression, it can really make or break a customer's decision to even walk in.
Oh, absolutely. The storefront, it's like the face of the brand.
Right.
You know, it's that first glance, the introduction to the experience they're about to have.
Right, right. The Global Textile Times article talked about like a cohesive store image.
Uh-huh.
What do they mean by that?
Well, they're talking about the whole look and feel, both inside and out.
Okay.
You know, it's about creating that consistent experience, one that really reflects the brand's values and who they're trying to reach.
So like a luxury brand might go for something sleek, maybe minimalist.
Yeah, yeah.
With like really high-end finishes.
Right. Whereas, say, like a bohemian clothing boutique might have something more eclectic, a little whimsical.
Oh, that's a good point. So it's about creating a visual language.
Exactly.
That speaks to the brand.
One that resonates with their ideal customer.
Okay. So what makes a successful storefront? What are some of the key elements?
Well, you got to start with the building itself.
Okay.
The architecture should be inviting and kind of reflect that personality.
Uh-huh.
Then you've got the signage. Needs to be clear, easy to read, and of course, visually appealing.
And the window displays?
Oh, yeah.
Those can be amazing. Remember that bookstore we saw with that like giant open book sculpture?
Yeah, yeah. It was like you were stepping right into a story.
It was so cool. A well-designed window display. It's like art.
Totally.
It tells a story, gets people excited, and ultimately makes them want to come in.
Exactly.
It's like a little peek into like the heart of the store.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
Global Textile Times also talked about landscaping.
Right.
Like those exterior elements, making things welcoming.
Yeah, even something as simple as a few plants or flowers
oh.
can make a huge difference. It just adds a little bit of warmth, a touch of life.
It's all about those little details that create that positive experience.
Oh.
So as we're wrapping up our deep dive, what's the one thing you want listeners to remember?
Be an active participant in your shopping experience, I mean.
Okay.
Pay attention to everything around you,
yeah.
From the music to the lighting, to where they're putting things.
So don't just follow the path, like, blindly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, ask yourself, why am I drawn to this?
Right.
Do I actually like it? Or is it just because they're presenting it in this clever way?
That's such good advice. You know, it's empowering to realize that we have a choice.
You do.
We don't have to be passive. We can be those mindful shoppers making decisions based on what we want.
Absolutely. And, you know, the more you understand those tactics, maybe you'll even get inspired to create some beautiful, engaging spaces yourself. In your own life, I mean.
I love that. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this deep dive into the world of visual merchandising. Until next time, happy shopping, everyone.